part two, Mackenzie Lee will talk about her latest novel that she has written for Marvel. It's a great novel for young readers called Winter Soldier. Join us for Monday's morning show, beginning just after 8 o'clock.
This is WGTD-HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College, and Jenny Tunkis, former reporter for the Kenosha News and a former chief of staff for the Kenosha County Executive. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning, and I am Marcia Conant, and so glad to be back in my chair here at WGTD Radio. I know a few of you might remember when I was back here on the air in the late 80s and early 90s, just having a wonderful, wonderful time with the staff and especially the listeners. And so when they asked me to come back and maybe work on Community Matters, I jumped at the chance. So I am absolutely thrilled to be here, and I am most excited about the guest that we have with us today. With me today is Joan, and I'm going to ask you to pronounce your last name for me.
Sure, it's Rory. Phonetically, I spell it R-O-R-Y, but it's German spelling.
Rory, just like it looks if you read German. Okay, very good. And Joan is a lifelong resident of Racine and just has some marvelous things going on in her life. So Joan, you did grow up in Racine, right?
I did. I'm a West Racinian to the core. Grew up in the best neighborhood one could ever ask for on Dean Boulevard. Went to school at St. Ed's and St. Cat's. And I had a dreamlike childhood, to be honest.
Yep. Good, good. I think we all did. And so did you leave Racine at all and come back? What was your pathway after graduation from high school?
Naturally, every 18-year-old says, I'm going to leave this town behind me and I'm never coming back. So I proceeded to go to the Brown Institute for Broadcasting, Marcia, in Minneapolis. I had dreams of being a DJ many, many years ago and ended up attending the University of Minnesota and met my now husband in Minneapolis, a guy from Plymouth, Wisconsin. So here were two cheeseheads out of their element, loved our dating and early relationship there. We started a family there. And then we were just reminiscing about this. Bob got an offer for a position in Racine for a $6 an hour. And that was more than we were making, more than we could dream of. And we packed the three of us up. My daughter, Claire, was two, and we moved back to my hometown. Naturally, we said, this is our five-year plan. We're out of here in 5 years. We bought a house. We stayed there 17 years, and we've been in this. Long story short, I'm not going anywhere. I have fallen in love with my community, and we're not going anywhere.
Oh, that is so good to hear, because we need lots of people like you. I too, am just absolutely in love with Racine and Racine environments and all the wonderful things that go on here. I'm always amazed when people say, what's in Racine? There's nothing in Racine. Whoa, there's lots in Racine.
So, you know, if anybody needs something to do, you get my digits and you call me. Although I would be remiss if I didn't say we have a lot of work to do. We're a work in progress. Yep. Having been engaged in the community for many years, we definitely have work to do, and it's going to take a strong, resilient community to make that happen, be a thriving, flourishing community.
Absolutely.
So my sleeves are rolled up.
Good, good. Well, yours and lots of others, and that's what's so encouraging about Racine. So you were a mom and raised your kids, And did you take a career path at some point after that?
I'm super proud of the career path I chose. I then went to Carthage when we got back here. Elementary education. So I spent almost 30 years in K-12 education. Within that 30 years, I did numerous things, but I was always a technology integrator. I helped install computer labs at Jefferson Lighthouse when there's only two outlets in a classroom, but, you know, 30 computers, yeah. Retrofit technology under the mentorship of Larry Joswick, one of the most incredible educators I've ever had the honor to know and work with. Went on to actually train for Apple. In the old days, when you bought a Macintosh computer or an Apple computer, Apple granted 2 hours of in-service training with every computer sold. Enter Kenosha Unified, who bought thousands of computers. I ended up doing training a lot of those educators on early technology use and integration. Fast forward, I had an incredible opportunity to partner up with the Kenosha Water Utility, and I formed a nonprofit, and that's a whole different story, as a global water educator. So not only was I a technology integrator, but I worked with a global audience when an organization called Wisconsin Water for the World called me and said, we'd like to do some remote connections with students in Guatemala. We live on Lake Michigan. We take it for granted. What about sharing how a third world has water and their resources with the students in Kenosha? So for 13 years, I worked with the Kenosha Water Utility and Wisconsin Water for the World and traveled to Guatemala, video conferencing with students all over the world on water and water as a resource, how precious it is and how we take it for granted. That kind of culminated my education career. I went to Guatemala 13 years. We got out 2 weeks before COVID shut the country down.
Oh, jeez.
So flash forward a little further, you know, I beta tested a little product called Zoom many, many years ago. Had I, you know, known it was going to be the first choice in a pandemic. But I ended up loving a software platform that I adopted throughout Kenosha Unified, and the company that wrote that software recruited me. And I spent a year and a half, almost 2 years in London working on a team there. And when I got back, COVID, you know, I actually, the whole team of the software product was laid off. And I found a little organization and I met Tom Bueller called Visioning a Greater Racine, and spent 2 years diving. And again, I'll reiterate, falling in love with my community, asking questions from the people that live in this community. We really focused on your average community neighbor, you know, we didn't focus on corporate leadership or municipal leadership. We wanted to hear from people who live here, what is it going to take to be a thriving community we're all proud to call home?
Absolutely.
So proud of the work I did with Trevor Young and Ontavia Jackson. We hosted the numbers are escaping me now, but we had hundreds and hundreds of conversations. I still have the data. It still rings true. And that's probably the gig that really made me fall in love deeper with this community, because I really did get to know the people here and their needs and recognize the fact we have a lot of work to do.
And how has Visioning a Greater Racine impacted what's happening now? Can you see the buds growing from what came out of all that?
Absolutely. Tech Prize was the result of Wave Team, and the Wave Teams were, oh boy, working action vision, and engagement. I made up that acronym. Tech Prize is a Racine project modeled after a Grand Rapids, Michigan project. It was hosted last year. It's still very active. I know the environmental sustainability wave team is very active in an organization that kind of became one, Zero Waste Racine. Mm-hmm. At our peak, we had 500 actively engaged volunteers. On a regular basis, I am asked, what are people doing now? What has it become? You can see some of the efforts of Uptown and Christina Campbell, who owns the branch, quite an anchor in that community. But I see a lot of results as the work of engaging our activity. It's bittersweet to know that it isn't the steam train it was. But we keep building, we keep moving on. We just really have to work on being good neighbors. And that was a big part of visioning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's so good to hear. And I think you're right. I think we're seeing the product of that commitment. And I'm hoping down the road that'll all catch fire again. So I'm hopeful.
Yeah, I am. But the fact is, and I'm involved in many nonprofits, I'm on two boards. The types of events and momentum that Racine won through were built by armies of volunteers. Festival of Trees, the Dragon Boat Races, Pancake Day. These were events that, in order for them to function, needed hundreds of volunteers. COVID really changed that. It's very, I don't see too many organizations having their gala or the big scale fundraisers
right.
like they used to. There are successes with smaller things, but getting that army of people together is not the same as it was.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, I'm a sustaining member of the Junior League. And when I was in league, we were at about 125 members, and we were so worried that we were getting so small. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they have 25 members today. The commitment to volunteerism is really different. You're absolutely right. And I'm hoping that our young people will take up that mantle. I've often said when I was growing up, and you probably too here in Racine, we had the Nitty Gritty and the Sound and the Ivanhoe because adults cared about our entertainment. And when I think of the work the Y put into making the Sound so cool, and it was, it wasn't anybody's job. They just saw that as important to do. And I think, this whole generation of kids isn't getting anything like that from us. And that's a shame.
That's really true. And that's very accurate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm hoping we can see that changing as well. So one of the things, many things I want to talk to you about, but one of the things I want to talk to you about is, now you have this great new venue in downtown Racine. Why did you pick downtown for Social on 6th?
Well, first of all, the space formerly occupied Longshot Vinyl. I'm going to go as far as saying that was my Cheers. I've been active with the Sixth Street Theater and the Over Our Head Players for well over 20 years. And when Longshot Vinyl opened, it was my place to, I would literally walk in the door and Jeff or Jada would have a Scotch Ale opening for me, as I sat down at the bar. There's something about this space. There is something about the space that's very special to me. While it was still Longshot, I hosted several fundraisers for the Hispanic Roundtable, something else, I can't remember. And I did host the very first David Cassidy birthday party.
Oh, and we have to talk about that.
We'll talk about that. but the space itself has a vibe and it's very special to me.
I did not
intend to open a business. Chris Hafel and Andy Meyer, who are the owners of the building. Now the building itself, and we need another 2 hours probably, because I could talk about the history of this incredible building. It was built in 1886 as Racine's first YMCA. Yes.
And it's on the corner of 6th and what? College.
It was in our day, it held Haddon's luggage and the Red Cross drugstore.
And it still has the Red Cross tile out in front, right? So we know we're in the right place when we see that.
Both Roberta, the restaurant, and Social on 6th were the Red Cross drugstore, even when I was at St. Cat's. So it's a special place. I love the history to it and the haunts of it. But I'd often have conversations with the owner, Chris Hafel, and say, man, I love this space. And Chris would always say, it'd be just an awesome venue, you know, to have events. So I'd even call Chris once or text her, oh my gosh, there's an auction in Chicago for chairs, at, you know, wedding chairs, $1 a piece. I'm going to go get them, you know. And finally, Chris said, okay, enough is enough. And that was March, January of 20. Right in the pandemic, so 21. She calls me and she said, let's talk. So we sat in the window and she said, look, I can't, because I kept saying, if you need an event coordinator, call me. If we, you know, I can't hire you. You know, we're investing so much in this building, and you know, they're landlords and business owners themselves. But I think it's time you open your own business. You know you can do it. You've had events here. You know you've got the skill set, you know. And sometimes it takes someone else saying that to you before you really believe it. You know, and I'm also very blessed to have a family and the saint of a husband who supports absolutely. He's my Ricky to his Lucy, to be fair. You know, hey, Bob, I have this idea. Okay, what is it? You know, he just never. So Chris and I had this conversation and she said, she gave me an offer I couldn't refuse, as to quote The Godfather. And I said to her, I think you just dropped my dream in my lap. Oh. So I went home and I said to Bob, I think I want to open a business. And the first thing out of his mouth is, all right, what do you need from me?
Oh,
that's how it started. And I think he said that too, because he thought half of our basement, which is filled with inventory of things for catering and parties, he thought that would all go away. Well, now it's the basement, the garage, a storage unit, and half of the basement at Roberta, under Roberta. But I've always loved to have a story that's connected to things I buy. I went to an auction at the Scottish Rite in Milwaukee and purchased linens and runners and cups and just, you know, china. And I went and bought out the Polonaise restaurant, a Polish restaurant in Milwaukee,
yes,
of all of their Polish beer glasses and their plate.
Oh, how cool.
So I have a story with everything at Social on 6th I use is vintage or repurposed, and everything has a story. My couch that I was given came from France, 1912. My friend's grandmother bought it and had it shipped here. You know, and it's like a no red wine zone. I almost freaked out but you know, it's there to be loved and be comfortable in a space that to me has to be welcoming, inclusive, and comfortable for everybody.
Good.
In March, I'll be 2 years old.
Oh, well, happy birthday a little in advance. Tell us what Social on 6th is.
It's not just four walls. You know, I did describe it as a special place. It has character, but the highest compliment I can be paid is when a guest or someone comes in and says, it just feels really good in here. That's huge. You can't manufacture that. It has to be real. I've had people tell me, and Roberta Schultz, who owns the restaurant Roberta next door, that I'm one of the most welcoming people she's ever met. And it makes me tear up a little, but that's okay. I cry on, you know, at the drop of a hat anyway.
Oh, Kodak commercials. Yeah, I get it. Me too.
It's huge to know that I'm able to foster a space where everyone is welcome, comfortable, and inclusive. That's my goal. That's my aim. And that, to me, is a level of success.
Nice. So what happens in Social on Sixth?
Well, I opened this business primarily as, and I stole the term from a Seattle business, a micro venue. Okay. This ain't your mama's banquet hall. Even though I'm using all your mama's china and your grandma's china and their silverware. It's a 1,600 square foot space that comfortably accommodates up to 50 people, 50.
Okay.
So primarily, my goal was to host wedding showers, baby showers, weddings, celebrations of life, repast ceremonies, birthday parties, fundraisers, corporate events. I wanted, when I opened, because of my connection and affinity for the nonprofit community, when I opened Social on Sixth, I said, your first board meeting, when you're ready to meet face to face, is on me and here.
Nice.
You know, we were all shying away. We were all Zooming our nonprofit meetings, et cetera. And many took me up on it. And many have been returning customers for retreats or their annual dinner, their annual meetings, nonprofits, small businesses, are the heartbeat of our community. If it weren't for them, you know, we would just be any other old plain town USA, but they're tied so closely together that they need a place to be and feel valuable and special, and people recognize the work that they do.
Absolutely.
So purely a venue space, it then kind of morphed into, hey, I think I could do some really cool stuff here. It's not just a place. And then I realized, after doing some research, venues, a generic number here, primarily rely on 30% of their rentals to pay the bills, you know, to make the business, but 70% of their own events. And I have to get people in these doors. I can't just expect people to call me and rent, you know? I have to get people in here. So I experimented a few things. I did host the Sound of Music sing-along when I believe Longshot Vinyl was still open. I did one last, it's the Tuesday before Christmas.
I loved that theme. That is, we can all do it.
Absolutely. So cool. Plus, I bought a full-fledged Fräulein Maria costume that I have to get my money out of, you know. I spent my high school years entertaining my five best friends, imitating Fräulein Maria, and that's just something that really stuck with me. I adore the film. If you know, there are so many who have just such a love for it, who waited for it to be on TV, but you know, I have strudel and all of those things. So I'm trying to create more of an experience atmosphere, not just an event space. I started hosting high teas. I lived in London, outside of London for a couple of years. I know how to do a high tea. And it's the whole shebang. It's savories, sweets, scones, or fat rascals, or Welsh cakes. It's, you know, tea sandwiches. It's clotted cream. It's the whole works. And it's all served on vintage linens, which I have an enormous collection of, and using vintage tea, china, silverware, etc. And I hope that when people come to enjoy an experience like that, I will often say to them, put your phone away and turn it off. Sit at the table and enjoy the people around you and just escape for a little while. And it's been enormously successful. I host them. I'm hosting one, a private one this Sunday for a bridal shower. And I actually put a thing out on social media maybe 6 months ago after I had 25 people or 20 something people. How many pieces of dishware for, you know, silverware, serveware do you think I have to wash after an event like that? The winning answer was, and I think it was 22 people, 328. And, you know, an enormous amount of labor, but Marcia, it's my favorite event to put on.
It sounds wonderful.
I play the soundtrack from Pride and Prejudice or Bridgerton, and it's an escape, and it's just a lovely. And I'll boast a little. I was contacted by the North American High Tea Association to become a registered venue. And she said, that makes you venue number 3 in Wisconsin.
Oh my gosh.
Guess what the first one is?
Pfister.
And there's a home in a restaurant in Lake Geneva. I don't know the name. And me. We are
Well, congratulations. That is phenomenal. Now, do you hold, I know you said you do these for private parties. Do you also hold them kind of open?
I do.
Where people can just come?
I have open teas for the holidays and for Mother's Day. So we have to watch the calendar and watch the Facebook. I'm launching a new web page. All information will be on there. It's so lovely to see families, daughters, mothers come and have a Mother's Day tea.
I'm thinking I need to do that. That sounds absolutely wonderful.
It's lovely. Well,
you know, I noticed, I stalked your Social on 6 Facebook page, and I noticed you connected with some really amazing, and this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, folks in our community. And I'm curious how they all came to be. One was the Public Allies. How did you connect with them?
Well, I'm an emotional first time fall in love kind of person. And I think I was contracted to Visioning a Greater Racine when I saw a workshop put on by, oh my gosh, it's not the Moth, it's a storytelling organization in Milwaukee. And it was on community engagement. And I'm like, well, I'm now in the business. So here I go to this ex-fabula.
Yes.
I go to this workshop and I'm sitting in a circle and we're sharing our story. And everyone in the circle, you know, I'm John Smith, I'm a public ally. Hi, I'm Jane Doe, I'm a public ally. And it got to me and I'm like, I'm Joan Rory and I'm the only not public ally. What the heck is that? These people were so passionate and energetic and enthusiastic. And I went right to the executive director and I said, who are you? I need to know you. How do I fit in as a piece of the puzzle here? So Public Allies is a national organization. It was once led by Michelle Obama. Mm-hmm. And Milwaukee is where they're headquartered for our state. And it is a placement organization where people are placed in nonprofit organizations and kind of mentored, fostered into positions that sharpen their skills, you know, just their age range at the time, I think is 18 or over. You do not need to have your degree. You can be degree seeking, but you don't. There was a 60-year-old man in the class of Public Allies when I first learned about them. Really similar to AmeriCorps. They receive a salary every Friday. They receive a full day of the team being together and, you know, workshopping, etc. And I loved the vision of it, the mission of it. And I thought, how can I make this happen? So long story short, Carl Fields with the Hospitality Center contacted me and he said, I have someone I'd like you to meet, Ontavia Jackson. So Ontavia and I made an appointment to have coffee. And by the time we were done talking, I had already offered her a public ally position, which I didn't have yet, but I said, I'm going to make this happen. Ontavia was a CNA, a tired CNA, degree-seeking, single mom with a fire in her heart and in her eyes. I needed her to be on my team. So that's how I said to Ontavia, I'd like you to look at this public ally program. She went to it. We prepared. Sometimes you might have, if you don't have someone in mind, you can go to a job fair where they match you, et cetera. But I won the lottery the day I met Ontavia and the day it worked out that we could become team members. She is now on the school board. She is on several nonprofit boards. She is now being hired back to Public Allies as an employee. So Ontavia drank the Kool-Aid, as did I. And I'm just so incredibly proud of her. That has stuck with me. We remain very good friends. And I want Ontavia's position is to get more public allies placed. She was the very first public ally placed in Racine. And
wow.
I think we had 7 last year or before COVID due to Ontavia. We need to, you know, if you're a nonprofit organization and you want to learn about this organization where you can find a passionate, ready to learn young person or, you know, any age person, I would love to talk about it, but definitely Google Public Allies, and it's so reasonably priced. I could, you know, cheerlead for them all day.
That's incredible. That we what a blessing all around. You know, yeah. You for her, her for you, public allies for everybody. That's amazing. Well, I can't believe we've only got about 13 minutes left. And we haven't even started to talk about the fun stuff that's going on at Social on 6. So let's just jump right into that. Now, the high tea sounds absolutely fabulous, but word is you get a little down and dirty every now and then.
It's necessary.
Oh, yeah.
So a brainstorming. So I tried an experiment of being open because people ask me, when are you open?
Yeah.
I'm not open. I mean, I'm open when I want to be, which is, you know, a little self-serving. But last fall, I tried being open Mondays and Tuesdays, 5 till 9, serving food. I am a restaurant, even though I don't have a kitchen. And Denise Lockwood of the Racine County Eye, we were there kind of jaw-jacking, and we tossed about this. What if we just had a place for badass women? What if we could fill this space with a community that has a ton of these women? I want this space filled. I want to be surrounded by women who, you know, write their own chapters and don't need to apologize. And Racine is loaded with them. So I started Badass Women Only the second Wednesday of every month. And no agenda, no filters, no name tags. I do say no boys allowed, but the fact is I've let boys in.
Oh, okay.
You know, I can't say inclusive and then say I can't, you know.
Exactly.
But the fact is, it is growing in popularity. It's a haven for women to, I've got people who come and knit. I've got people who come alone and just want to have a glass of wine in the corner or read a book. Or people bring treats or they bring it. I have one table full of women involved in city leadership that I just adore, and they're, you know, it's a comfortable space. They can have conversations, not worry. they bring in their food from the Yardarm or Madrid or, you know, Roberta, whatever's open. We all find a way to figure out something to eat, but it's truly a 4 hours of just being in a space where you can be comfortable, safe, et cetera.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it's every Wednesday?
No, it's the second Wednesday of every month.
Starting at what time?
5 till 9.
All right.
So I just returned from Iceland. You knew I was out of the country. I'm finally at a point where I have an incredible feisty sidekick that can cover for me when I'm not here. Ooh. Tammy Radspinner is an amazing friend going even back to high school. And she covered 2 events for me. And I can feel I'm so much more comfortable knowing somebody who really knows their stuff and welcomes everyone like I do. So she covered for me, and she is one woman that you need to take note of too. Tammy launched over 55 dance group. I think it's called Senior Moments, and for the fun of it. So that's the kind of women I want around me and being a part of that space.
Nice.
I should also mention March 8th is the next scheduled BAWO, BAWO. However, I won't be open, and that's because I'll be attending a conference in Green Bay for Female Entrepreneurs of Wisconsin. But it's going to be worth it because Wednesday, April 12th is a scheduled BAWO night, but it's David Cassidy's birthday party.
Oh, how fun. Did you love David Cassidy when you were a young woman?
It's not a past tense, Marcia. He still melts my butter. Very much so. Yes, I had the full-sized poster on my door that I'd kiss every night. And yes,
me too.
A full-size cardboard cutout of him that's present when we play kiss, you know, stick the lips on David. It is just a night of Partridge Family and 70s fun and puka shell necklaces. And this is actually going to be my friend Katie Kelso starting something called the Cake Club. They're all bringing cake. So let them eat cake.
Ooh.
We'll have birthday cake for David Cassidy's birthday.
How fun. You've also done some amazing sing-along things. and I can't wait to come to one of those because that's one of my passions. And I know you've done the Sound of Music sing-along.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Well, like I said, I have a full-fledged Fräulein Maria costume that I have to get my money out of. I also did something called Broadway karaoke because I'm a Broadway musicals, you know, theater person. And that was a full house, only Broadway songs. And I have a spiel. My song is You'll Be Back from Hamilton. My friend Kitty made me the full costume for it. We had a 12-year-old singing her heart out. We had my friend Maggie, who is very hard of hearing, which means she can't barely hear herself, belt out tunes and, you know, standing room only. It was one of the most fun nights I've ever had in that space. Another one coming in April. I can't do them too many times or the novelty will wear off. But yeah, let's fly our musical flags and just enjoy.
Well, you know, I'm lucky enough to know a woman who lives out towards Elkhorn, I think. No, Washington County, I take that back. She is the first runner up in an international karaoke competition.
Come on now.
Yeah, and I think it may have been in Iceland, if I remember correctly.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and she won that position with laryngitis. So she is that. I need to bring her to one of these events.
Oh,
Noelle would be just a fabulous addition. So the next one is April. We need to watch for that. And then you're having a Baddies Award. That's those badass women. Tell us about that.
You know, it's going to be the premier award evening of this community. A red carpet event with spotlights. You'll be able to nominate who you think stands out in this community as a badass woman. We're going to start defining that term. We're going to have different categories. We'll accept nominations. And I actually have three judges who aren't even in this community.
Nice.
Who will take a look. And I contracted Amanda Paffraff of Hot Shop Glass to make the awards. I don't want some dusty old loving cup sitting on your shelf.
Beautiful. Oh,
that's so exciting. He's making some beautiful pieces that will be utilitarian and gorgeous. And there will be three categories and one main category. And the working title for the main category is the Joan of Arc. Only because she's my patron saint.
Of course.
She's a badass.
She was, yeah.
The title may change. So everyone is going to have their opportunity to nominate. We're going to celebrate and dedicate that night to women who take no prisoners, I guess.
Great. Do we have a date for that?
That is June 14th, which is the second day of June.
Perfect. All right. Oh, Roberta's going to do a dinner.
Yep. It's going to be both sides dinner awards night.
Oh, it sounds absolutely amazing. So we'll definitely be watching for that. We've got like just a couple of minutes left, and I want you to talk a little bit about your catering partners. And I know we've talked about Roberta, but you've got some really, really cool catering partners.
Well, the fact is, you can't spit down Sixth Street without it hitting an amazing restaurant. Right. You know, from Pepe's, Old Madrid, Asiana, Roberta, Toad Hall, Maple Table, Butcher Barrel. I mean, I make it a focus to work with vendors that are local, female, and minority owned. Why look any further than some of the, you know, Dragon Pit? I can tell you the new, and Danny's. I mean, the local food and catering opportunities here are amazing. We need to celebrate that and support each other.
They most definitely are. And I'm just absolutely thrilled that they're kind of all wrapped up in Social on Sixth. So if I come there to do an event, I get my pick of the kind of catering that I would like.
That's
absolutely fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Joan, this has been so much fun. I can't believe you and I have not met face to face for real, because we've got so much in common. And I am just absolutely delighted that you could spend today with us. This was really a lot of fun. So Social on Sixth, what's the address?
324 Sixth Street.
Corner of College and 6th Street in downtown Racine. And again, I can't thank you enough for being here. This has been a great inaugural Community Matters for me. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And thanks to all of you who've been with us today. We hope you'll continue to listen to Community Matters. We'll talk to you next time. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
In a world filled with possibilities and wonder, we can always find grace in between the music. Join me, Lily Maselli, host of In Between the Music, and enjoy trivia and music together. For dates and times, visit WGTD.org.